Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest is Anne Labangana Clay. She is the instructional coach for K through seventh graders in Wilmington, Delaware. Great educators set out to make a difference, and Anne has kept these words on her desk to remind herself of the original reason she entered the field of education to make a difference. After 26 years of consulting, teaching, presenting, tutoring, and coaching pre-K through 12th graders and adults across the US and around the world, she still absolutely loves what she does. Anne has taught and led in Pennsylvania and Delaware in public and private schools in high need, high risk areas, as well as gifted and talented students. In addition, she has taught in a TAM setting, an SAM setting, and taught pre-college English course at a local community college. The legacy she leaves as an educational consultant and podcast host is building capacity and resiliency within one client and one podcast listener at a time. Welcome to the podcast, Anne.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, tell me about a time when you came out of the trenches. You told me you had the several stories in the pre-chat and kind of how you've worked your way to what you're doing now and what you've learned from those trench stories.
Right. Thank you so much. It's an excellent question. I just want to say to your listeners that I love the topic that you bring each week. It's fantastic. I think it speaks to being resilient, for those listeners. So thank you very much for the opportunity. The example that I want to bring today is how, not that many years ago, people were not in education, were not focused on the whole child. Mm-hmm. It was very data and data meaning testing wise and things of that nature, student achievement, but not necessarily addressing the social, emotional, even the physical nature that students have when approaching a learning situation or approaching an assessment. So long story short, it was very an uphill battle trying to advocate for students who needed to have a voice, mm-hmm. and to have the opportunity to show their strengths in their, like I said, their social, emotional, physical, just in the arts, even now for the older students with VOTEC and things of that nature, people have gifts in different ways, and I don't think that they were given the opportunities to shine. And so it was an uphill battle. So unfortunately, I was unpopular because it wasn't popular at the time. And so, that gets you down, emotionally. You wonder, is the fight really worth it? You're not advancing in your career and, because of that. But what the most important thing I got out of it, even though it was a very troubling time, it was important. It was valuable. It didn't matter how many people were behind me, on it. I can name any number of students and families that were grateful, and some didn't let me know until later on, but, they were grateful for that advocacy, that I was advocating for their child. I was advocating for them. Mm-hmm. And now it is popular, right? Yeah. across the country, everyone's embracing it, and I, but anyway, that was a time that was challenging for me. Like I said, I probably did not advance in my career, you know, as quickly as I could have. I probably did not advance in my career as quickly as I could have. I was, like I said, there were people that were, you know, against what I was trying to bring to the table for schools and for districts. And, but anyway, but I'm so glad, like I said, that things have turned around and there are more advocates across the country, across the world. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look on Twitter, that support the growth of the whole child. Mm-hmm. So important, so important.
So why do you think it took so long for a lot of, you know, these policymakers, district leaders and the like to really see that SEL and teaching the whole child was such a need?
You know, I think that when we think of various organizations that you've mentioned, because everything's an organization, you know, they're about the numbers, you know, or they were, you know, about the number, crunching the data and standardized tests and things of that nature are very easy to calculate. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy to calculate, you know, does somebody have an emotional growth, you know, moment, it or was not at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it was easier. It was definitely better funded.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, to be honest, you know, about that, I think that there's a lot of funding behind test scores, you know, even today. And I think the pandemic has helped us to reevaluate what's important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at that time, I think that it was just easier and a lot of funding behind it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think will change as we move out of the pandemic in terms of high stakes testing?
Well, I think there will still be testing. Mm-hmm. I think our approach to it and our preparation of students, if I may, is different, you know, taking into the account of anxiety, you know, the mental health consequences of pressuring students, you know, about standardized testing and teaching to the test and all that, you know, has started to slip away, which is awesome. And, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, we just need to continue to remember we're human, you know, they're human. And, you know, what is the end result that we want to get out of it? You know, when we have students in front of us, what is the ultimate goal, mm-hmm. right? To be good citizens, right? And to be good humans. And so that looks different for different people. Different mm-hmm. students, you know, shine in different ways, and look at our world, right? Look how it's manifested through the generation. So yeah, that's my thought is we're still going to have testing. It's still going to be standardized things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a place for that. You know, but I think it's what pressures we put and what significance we put on the testing that is starting to change, I think, across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like how you put that, and just the concept of grading and the concept of college entrance exams and yeah. you know, the pressure kids are feeling from parents to get good grades, and grades aren't necessarily looking the same. I think, you know, I've listened to a couple of podcasts and read some articles recently of just how we grade needs to change, right? Sure. With what's going on this year, but also in the future. I wanted to talk a little bit about your consulting firm, ANC Unlimited LLC, and you rebranded your firm in February of 2020. So can talk to me a little bit about what you were focusing on prior to February and how you've rebranded and how you serve clients now.
Okay, thank you. So we are excited that we rebranded. Our initial focus for many years, which was helpful, for the needs of our clients was very evaluative. So, you know, your teacher evaluations are focused on lesson planning, your classroom environment, classroom management, things of that nature, professional responsibilities, you know, so that was our focus to get teachers from, and I use tiers, very similar to students, to that tier one or the highest level of evaluation, whether it be your formal evaluation, whether it be your formal, forgive me, please. Whether it be your formal evaluation or whether it be just a walkthrough or just your everyday, right? I mean, because, and the mindset was not, let's prepare for this evaluation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The mindset was, this is what should be every day. And somebody should be able to walk into your room and parents should be able to, you know, see this and experience this, and students should be able to, you know, live this and be in that routine every day. So the focus wasn't let's prepare for a specific evaluation, but that was the mindset was, you know, every day is an evaluation. Every day you should be prepared to the highest ability. And this is how we can prepare you for tier one instruction and planning, et cetera. So right before the, even though the pandemic hit, I was seeing in my clients a different need. You know, they sort of, not that they didn't, they sort of had that under their belt, you know, that tier one, that goal, right, of being a tier one teacher, but there was more to it. And the other piece seemed to be more of the people side of it.
Okay.
You know, feeling that teacher burnout, you know, had organizational skills, but wasn't able to put them into place. You know, feeling like they were running out of ideas of how to engage students. And so, the company not only for, you know, gain clients and work with clients on those specific things, but we became more of what I would call a resource of sharing information without cost. You know what I'm saying? Because the bottom line is, I want you to be able to be the best that you can be for your students, just like I am as an instructional coach. And obviously I do have a salary, but you know, my mission and vision is, you know, what, how can you be at your best so that students get your best? And the same for my clients, you know. So a lot more of, and we're Twitter friends, you know, a lot more Twitter posts and a lot more of the social media, just getting information out there for folks. Instead of waiting for them to come to me. So it, so therefore you hit the masses, right? When you use social media and you share that Edutopia article, you know, that you hit thousands of people and they learn more that way. And so that became our focus in February.
Yeah, I like how you say, you know, how getting the word out there via social media really makes a difference. And you know, we're connected to so many people in the K-12 environment in all types of roles through our Twitter accounts. And, you know, being able to get the word out there really helps, you know, when you have a consulting firm or when you're trying to provide services, I think. And you talked to me a little bit about some of the webinars that you're creating, that you're in the process of putting out there. So what is the need that you're seeing, the districts that you're consulting with, what is a particular need that really stands out right now that you're focusing on in those webinars?
Sure. So what several of the needs, exists. And so the ones that have been the most needed right now have been your tech tools and, you know, utilizing those platforms for asynchronous and synchronous learning, even though a lot of schools have gone back to a hybrid model, they still have those different blended learning, right, models that school districts are focusing on now. In addition to that, as we talked about being that advocate, right, starting years ago for that whole child, that is huge right now. School districts are wanting to learn how to blend the social emotional learning with various content areas, not just having a block of time like morning meeting, you know, for the day where they're trying to infuse social emotional learning throughout the day. So that's where some of our customized webinars go to. Those particular areas are the hotspots right now for districts.
So there are several districts that have been using social emotional learning tools for a while, but do you see a discrepancy in the types of districts? So you have a vast experience both in urban, low social economic districts, but also more wealthier districts in private schools. So is there a discrepancy among the type of readiness that different districts have in terms of educating the whole child?
Excellent point. You know, certainly having the private school, your charter schools, who have a lot more autonomy, if that makes sense, to make decisions about the whole child and the whole child learning. A little more time is infused into their scheduling for that. Districts that, you caught me on the spot here with this one, districts that are a little more affluent, tend to use their resources and their like I said, building into the schedule more of the whole child opportunities, right? And so, you know, being most recent in, again, in an urban situation, it's not just my current district, it's, you know, I think it's just a need across the country, that it's just a matter of reflecting and reevaluating. And sometimes it's, you know, it's those conversations, like you don't know until you know, right? So sometimes when educators and others and myself as a consultant, you know, come to a district, particularly, you know, those that are don't have it built into their schedule as often, you know, it's new information. And so, you know, it's not something to blame or to take fault. It's more of, you know, oh, now I know, and now how can we, you know, grow towards the goal of doing what's best. So I will say that particularly in our state, where I'm from, Delaware, it is a policy now within the state. And so it's one of those trickle down effects or trickle up, however you want to look at it. And so I think that when you have everybody on the same page, you know, it's like anything, it's like a ripple effect, right? Once I know, and I'm going to share with you, and, you know, oh, best practices over here, and let's go look at this model, you know, in another school district. I think that something, and you got me on my soapbox here, I think that's something we in education don't do enough. And, you know, I think the pandemic has opened the floodgates, you know, to this, which is awesome. We don't collaborate enough. You know, I think in education, unfortunately, we've been too competitive. You know, if somebody's doing something awesome, right, if it be a classroom teacher or a whole district, you know, is doing something awesome, let's go watch that. Let's go figure that out. And then, you know, try to, you know, bring it back to our building. So the bottom line is, I think that, you know, there are works in progress, and it's just where we are at this time, but I'm optimistic.
Yeah. And I think a lot of districts and schools are looking for what works for them. And that made me think of PD. I'm giving it a breakout session this weekend for Colorado Association of Middle Level Educators about PD, like finding your niche, either individually, departmentally, or for your school, right? Because there's so much available right now, and just focusing on what works, what you need at your school, because you don't want to overwhelm your staff if you're making decisions about PD. And you also need to figure out if you're making decisions for the school, there are staff members that know a lot more about trauma-informed practices than others, or, you know, maybe rely on the strengths of your staff, right, in some areas, and, you know, infuse that into the needs of your particular building. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your podcast. You got that started pretty recently, and you've had different guests on. You said you do different series every month. Tell me a little bit about the past series, a couple of different of the guests that you've had, and what kind of guests you'd like to see on in the future.
Wow, that's a loaded question, but I like it. Yeah, so I just started podcasting in August, and that was another offshoot of rebranding. And so excited to be able to share. And yeah, so we've had the honor of having several guests on at this point. And last month, in October, our focus was on edupreneurs. So, you know, entrepreneurs, and then you have edupreneurs, those in education who found their niche, right? And are now growing in the business world that way. So that was awesome. I, in some cases, you know, I reached out to different people, and in some cases they reached out to me, which was fantastic, to be able to get a wealth of knowledge, because not everyone who was a guest was an edupreneur. Some of them were serial entrepreneurs who shared tips and were able to, you know, go from there. But our series that we're currently in is mental health and wellness, and it's just gonna drop today, starting today. And so the focus there is gonna be broad. We're gonna have guests who are going to talk about self-care. We're gonna have guests that are going to talk about, you know, in education, because we've sort of gone off on that emotional roller coaster, are we still servicing our students, you know, which is delicate, we get it, you know. And then we're going to move into some guests who are going to unpack a little bit about being an educator and the whole focus on being an anti-racist and things of that nature. So everything is obviously related to how all of those things I discuss impact our mental health, and ways and tips to continue to be well through all of these different emotionally charged topics. So it's a big one, and it'll continue in through December, just because, you know, November's choppy with the holidays. It's a shorter month for educators, but we'll continue into December. But I'm excited. So to answer the rest of your question, it's definitely the podcasting world is perfect for what I call, you know, PD at your fingertips. You know, you can wash your car, you can mow the lawn, you can, you know, go do your grocery shopping, you know, and you can listen to a podcast, you know, obviously you can do it in your car. But I think that the fantastic piece is that the guests just keep on coming. Like, people are so willing to be a guest. You know what I mean? Like, I've not found anyone say, oh, that's terrible. No, I refuse. You know, it's usually timing. You know, they say, can you reach back out, you know, to do that. And I've kind of, the reason why I've been focusing on the guests and not just myself, you know, like if there are some of my episodes where it's just me, but you know, if I'm not the expert, then I bring the expert into the room. And that's how I feel, you know, my listeners are wanting to learn something. And my podcast is all about growth mindset, you know, out of the box thinking, you know, and so therefore, like I said, I bring the experts in when I need to.
And where can people download your podcast?
Ooh, good question. So they can download it on, a home is Anchor FM, mm-hmm. and they can also download it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, now iHeartRadio, really excited about that, and several other apps. The pod.link is a fantastic way to get to my podcast and allows you to, you know, choose which app you'd like to download from.
Okay, great. I'll put that in the show notes. You also talked to me a little bit in the pre-chat about your experience in different settings, and talking about how when you were teaching in a private school, then you went to an urban setting, and then you went back to kind of back and forth to those settings. And some of it was because of what type of setting your daughter needed to be in. And mm-hmm. also, you know, so that just the experience having the kids that are privileged and have parental support, you know, more than average. And then you've had those kids that lack a lot of the timing. The parents don't have the time to support, even if they want to. So what has mm-hmm. that taught you, just working kind of the gamut of both kind of sides of the educational spectrum?
Right, sure. So I started out private, went to urban public, did suburban public, then private again, and then back to urban public. And I made the choice, right? I think that's what we talked about. I made the choice this last time to go back into the urban public, particularly after coming out of the private, because I had learned so much, you know. And it's not to, and again, we talk about people are districts and schools are at different places, right? But I think that everybody's learning. And so, you know, I wanted to bring back what I had learned about tier one instruction, about, you know, so many different out of the box ways of creating the same lesson, right? You know, the curriculum's the same, but how do we approach it? How do we, you know, increase that engagement for our students? And then ultimately with the whole equity piece, I think that's the bottom line is, you know, everybody should get the same, right? Whether you're in private, public, and I get it, there's a reason why there's a private school and there's a reason why it's a public school, but it shouldn't be about what a child receives, you know, from their teacher. And so, you know, you might not have the same textbooks, right? I mean, if we use textbooks anymore, right? You might not have the same actual, you know, book to read from, you know, but that's where we as the educators make up the difference, right? It's not the materials, It's, you know, what you're infusing. And so, you know, educators are facilitators, right? So if the topic is the same, no matter what school I go to or what district or what country, right, I go to, if the standards are still the same, then, you know, how am I going to convey that so that my students can be thinkers? I think that's the big word there, right? Be thinkers and not just doers, right? You know, how can I get them to think about it? How can I get them to grow and to, you know, imagine and, you know, all those things. And so it begins and ends with us, but in a different way. We're not lecturers, right? Like I said, we're facilitators. We're facilitating the learning. And so anyway, so as you can see, I get very passionate. So I bring that passion, you know, and I try to help, you know, educators see it that way. You know, when I look back, you know, like it's 26 years, you know, I have students that are very grown by now. You know, when I look back and when I interact with them, sometimes it's on social media, sometimes it's at an event. There's my former student. You know, it's about the relationships that we built, and they knew that I was invested in them, right? And I'm not saying those are not my words. That, you know, that's how they say it. You know, I was Miss Labangana Clay back in the day. Or Miss Labangana, excuse me, Miss Labangana, because I wasn't married at that time. But, you know, they talk about that. You know, you really looked and acted like you cared about us. You know, not just, you know, that we had a test coming up and not just we had to get this book read by a certain time. And I get it. I understand. Educators have a lot. You know, I just was in the classroom not that long ago. You know, it's a lot. There's a lot of demands, other demands, but when at the end of the day, your students are only going to remember, right? What is it? What is the phrase? How you made them feel. As believe it. I know, I get excited.
No, I get that because, you know, having been teaching for about 20 years as well, mm-hmm. You know, that seeing the former student or seeing, you know, people after several years and what they remember, they don't remember the content, right? They don't remember a lesson you taught or a test they took.
That's right.
The ambience, the, you know, the classroom feeling, the relationships, right? And I think your point of, you know, how students can be thinkers and not just doers, that goes across any school that you're in, whether it's a low socioeconomic status setting that's not very well funded or a private school, right? Because, you know, some private school settings, kids might think people are going to do things for them. So, you know, kids anywhere can be those thinkers, right? And take matters into their own hands. And we're seeing that happen more and more throughout this past year with just the protests and social justice changes, and even, you know, 2.5 years ago with the March for Our Lives movement. So, you know, I think kids are seeing that they can be change makers in the world, right? And
yes.
We're just there, like you said, to guide them. I think when we started out years ago, a lot of it was kind of more stage on the stage, right? The expert in the room. But now, like you're saying, the kids, we're guiding them. We're, you know, making sure they have that template or that kind of, you know, the structure to follow, but then they're taking off.
That's right. Yes. And isn't it wonderful to see them take off? Uh-huh. So much better than copy this down, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So much better than having them just take notes from the overhead projector.
Right? I'm familiar from my own experience.
It wasn't that long ago.
Right.
Had an overhead. So.
Right. Wow.
Well, out of everything we discussed today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
Ah, yes. Ooh, okay. I think the main thing is to think outside of the box, and whatever that is for you, you know, the status quo is just that, right? It's just a status quo. So what can you do, you know, personally, professionally, you know, et cetera, that will be different? You know what I mean? And when we think about it, speaking of, you know, our students and those who were students, you know, think about your inventors. They definitely didn't stick to the status quo, did they? You know, all these inventions we've had over time. And that's what I think that's what it is. I think I'm a dreamer. And so if you think out of the box, you got to be dreaming, right? You got to be thinking about something that's not in front of you, not already happening. And particularly in education, that's how we're now, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, why, you know, even virtual hybrid, you know, is working. Right. I mean, I understand there are loops and, you know, problems and things and glitches and, you know, but the bottom line is students are still learning because you thought outside of the box. You didn't, you know, I don't know about you. I've never lived through a pandemic. So, and I know you haven't, you know, but seriously, we've never been here before, and yet we're, you know, learning how to thrive, right? We might not all be there yet, you know, but we're learning how to thrive and help our students build resiliency through all of this. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yes, it's a lot, but yeah, think out of the box.
Yeah, no, I like that. You know, kids are taking off, and they're, mm-hmm. Helping form their own learning, right? They're helping the educators think of new ways to assess students as well. Where can people find you online and connect with you?
Yes, well, please find me online at ANC Unlimited website, which is acunlimited.org. And if they want to reach out to me via email, for the company, it's aanc.unlimited@gmail.com.
Great. Well, I'll put that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. It was a pleasure getting to know you and talk about your thoughts of education.
Yes, well, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much for having me today and for letting me share my story.